From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, this is Bob Levy, Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I am here today with our Executive Vice President, Ivan Butts, and our Secretary Treasurer, Chuck Muladar. Before we start our discussion today, which will concentrate on membership, we have some late breaking news. Ivan, break the news.
Yeah, we have some great news for our delegates coming in for our LTS and also for all our membership in general. At 4 o'clock this morning, March 5th, I got a text that our long sought after and advocated for bill for postal fairness for postal supervisors and managers, which is called the Postal Supervisor and Managers Fairness Act, H.R. 6085, has been introduced in Congress by Representative Connolly and original co-signer, Representative Mike Boss. It's great news for our association. I am totally ecstatic at the outlook of what we have to do and the work we have to do in the coming months to really drive legislators for support of this legislation and just drive it home. Just drive. This is our legislation. This is months, culminating months of hard work to get what you say we need, legislation that supports us as EAS and managers running this postal service every day. And so now we have it. Now we got to get up there on the hill and start fighting for it.
Two takeaways, Ivan. Number one, that we were both awake that early in the morning, around 4 a.m. in the morning when they assigned the bill number. And second question, the second issue is that this is a bipartisan bill. Jerry Connolly, a Democrat from a suburban district of Virginia, and Mike Bost from a somewhat rural district in Illinois. That is a nice balance.
Absolutely, a real nice balance. And yeah, I mean, you know, 3:30 in the morning is kind of common these days. We're preparing for LTS and making sure that we have everything set up. But, you know, it's great bipartisan legislation that we have. And it shows, again, as you said, the Northern Virginia, which is some urban parts of the country. And then we have Illinois, the rural part of the country. But equally important is the service that we give to the American public by delivering their mail. And equally important is these leaders understanding that we need a fair pay scale, just like every other employee.
Great, Ivan. Thanks a lot for joining us
today.
All
right, I'm gone.
Yeah, Ivan's is preparing for LTS as we only have days left before everyone comes to town on Sunday. In any case, now we're going to turn it over to Chuck Muladar, who has some interesting news with regard to membership and our membership mission.
Well, good morning again, Bob. Always great to be here in the secret location where Naps Chat is recorded. So always a pleasure to be invited down here.
The glass enclosed nerve center of Naps.
It's nerve centering, I'm sure.
It's nerve wracking sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. But just to quick, I know Ivan had to run, but really want to offer my congratulations to Ivan, you, and Bruce Moyer, who worked on this, born out of really our frustration with the fact-finding process that we went through a little over a year ago. Because to me, it's like an NBA game, okay? So you have four quarters, right? And we won every quarter. We scored more points than the other team in all four of the quarters, yet we lost a game. So somehow winning doesn't equate necessarily to winning the game. Kind of like what fact-finding was. We won the whole fact-finding process, the fact-finding presentation. The panel agreed with our positions almost across the board unanimously. And ultimately, the Postal Service said, we're not going to do it. So it's just not a fair process. So what this bill will do is put a little teeth into Title 39, make our pay talk process with the Postal Service fairer and more balanced, and require that the outcomes of the fact-finding panel actually become the basis of the pay award. So the post office simply can't just throw it in the trash can when we're done. So really a great victory for us. Now, we all know all the complications up on the Capitol Hill this year, and there's an election coming up. We get all that, but that we got this far and this rapidly is a real credit to Ivan, you, and Bruce, and I want to thank you for that.
Well, this is for the membership. There's 27, right now, around 27,000 members, and this is for them, and plus some.
Absolutely. Again, to bring the title of the bill is so appropriate, the Postal Supervisors and Managers Fairness Act. That's what it's all about, fairness. It's not about tipping the scales so one side gets an advantage over the other side. No, it's really about fairness in the process and being fair, to be fair, to the people that move the mail and get things done in the Postal Service every day, operationally and every other level. So really good. And it takes me really right into a conversation about membership, which is why we're here today mostly, because it just once again, it just highlights what this organization, NAPS, is all about. We undertook a very frustrating pay talk process with the Postal Service that ultimately yielded nothing for us. We went through fact-finding with the Postal Service that ultimately, frustratingly, yielded very little for us. And then we're forced to file into federal court to gain some fairness in that process. So it just highlights who we are as an organization. Are we sitting on the sidelines watching the game? No. Are we sitting on the sidelines doing nothing, wondering what we're going to do next? No. We're actually in the game, competing, and using every tool that we have to make our membership better and stronger and have a more fair process for them. So unlike other organizations out there, one of which I will not name here, but I know you know who they are, and they know who they are, that sat out the whole process, fact-finding and legal, in fact, joined with the Postal Service on some aspects of the legal part, were not involved in any of these discussions around Title 39. So it truly highlights not only the differences in our organization, but what NAPS is all about, leaders in all ways to advance membership. So I know you want to talk about membership, and I'll step down off my soapbox for a minute, and then we can have that conversation.
Let's talk about the membership drive that we're initiating right now.
So last week or 10 days, we sent out a mailing, and hopefully anybody who's listening to this podcast right now is aware of that. If you're not, we sent out about 10,400 membership packets. We redesigned it. It's a very nice piece, very colorful, and really talks about who we are as an organization in a kind of a brief way, front and back. It's a mailer. It's been successful so far. Just in less than a week, we picked up 100 new members already. Very good. So it shows there's a hunger out there for membership in this organization, that we're on the right track. But we sent those out to kind of support the efforts of people in the field to sign up new members. You know, there's 10,000 opportunities out there for us to increase membership. And these 10,000 people are not postmasters. These are EAS, not coded as postmasters in the system. So we have about 27,000 total with our regular members, our working members, plus our associate members, our retirees. And we're trying to get as many of these 10,000 as we can. And just one other thing about that real quickly, 95% of our members, 95% are working today in the Postal Service, 5% are retirees. And we love the retirees because the retirees take on an inordinate burden, in a sense, of running a lot of our branches. And so we love them. We appreciate them. We wish we could get more of them to sign up. We got about 1,350, roughly. Wish we could get more. But the bottom line is this organization really is driven by its working members. Again, 95% of our membership is working members, not 49% of our membership. 95% of our membership are working EAS today in the Postal Service.
What is the incentive? Why should folks join the organization?
Right.
Because they, I mean, arguably, this goes on with the unions of craft employees. Also, they garner the benefit of what we do, even if they don't pay dues, or even if they don't say they are a member of NAPS.
Right, and we don't have that. Right, as we're not classified as a labor union, so whether or not a person joins or not, we don't have to represent them in issues. So they have to be a member for us to represent them. So we don't have that kind of burden in the sense that the unions have. But really, there's a couple of reasons why, and they're listed in the. In the packet we sent to the non-members. But, you know, one of the great things we have, besides the fact that we do a lot of training, we have conventions and meetings, branch meetings, area trainings. We network with 27,000 people. One of the things that I've always found useful in the 20-plus years I've been going to NAPS meetings and events is that I always find people in some other place that have the same problems that I did. So that I wasn't unique in my frustrations with my job. There was somebody else across the country that was having the same frustration, and that networking allowed you to either improve your skills or to understand that you're not alone in this process, and it was a help. But really what we do, and you see this today with Ivan's comments, representation not only of our membership if they have an issue with at work with discipline, but representation on the Hill. So without this effort of our organization, we would not have had this bill introduced that we hope we can get passed, nor would we have so many of the other things that we do and advocate on behalf of the Postal Service on Capitol Hill. And we also advocate on behalf of our membership at Postal Headquarters. We have a monthly consultative meeting, the resident officers do, and our executive board members and our branch presidents have similar types of meetings at more local and district and area levels. So we do a lot of representation and advocacy that way. And one of the great things that we offer in terms of representation and advocacy is our Disciplinary Defense Fund, which represents people just in case they have an issue where they get an adverse action, a removal, or a downgrade. We represent them through that whole process through MSPB if necessary, or the 650 process if they don't supervise more than two people. And that's a benefit of membership. So in other words, other than having to come out of pocket for $3,000 or $4,000, in our organization, that's a part of your membership due, so there's no additional expense to you as a member if you have an issue like that. And obviously, we try to keep people out of trouble. That's our main goal. We do that through training and a lot of our networking efforts. But if by some chance a person were to get in trouble, NAPS is there to represent them at no additional cost to that person.
What are the tremendous benefits of belonging to an organization is the networking, as you point out. The question I would ask is, what type of issues come out during these networking, these meetings, whether you know, the meetings in branches or the state meetings or even national meetings that come up that are teachable moments so people don't get themselves in trouble, so they can be better supervisors, so they can be better managers? What type of information would they pick up?
Yeah, and that's part of our mission as an organization, right, to promote the efficiency of the Postal Service and the people who make the government service their life, their livelihood. So when you come to let's just use LTS for instance.
Okay.
Coming up next week, right? We're all going to be there. Advocates around the country will be there. Branch presidents, branch legislative leaders, state presidents, so forth, all the way down the line. So what do we do there? Well, we get some information and news from the resident officers and from our executive board members about current events going on in the Postal Service and in NAPS. But for the great benefit of LTS is that people come here and then they hit the Hill. So they get training by you and Ivan, and we have state presidents that participate actively in engaging the people at the LTS and training them to prepare themselves to bring our message to the Hill. And then we take that messaging and then we go to meet our congressmen and senators on the Hill and advocate on behalf of our membership directly to our representatives in Congress. So what do we get out of that? Well, we get an opportunity to advocate on behalf of ourselves this time, of a NAPS issue this time, on fixing and reforming Title 39. So it's an example of what comes out of some of these training meetings. Now, if you go to a convention, state conventions are breaking out all over the country in the spring, as every year. So some states have their own convention. For instance, California is large enough, New York, to have their own convention. Some states have five states grouped together into one convention, like the Capital Atlantic, it's a five-state convention, so forth. So advocates come from around that area, and they meet with postal leadership, who always attends those normally, talk about issues that are more local, more central to what they do every day. They get answers to their questions. If not, we keep pressing them to get answers so we don't get the politically correct dance steps, that we actually get answers from leadership to their questions. And then they get training from NAPS, the latest news from NAPS leadership, and they get an opportunity to talk about their issues and seek solutions to their issues in that type of larger group setting.
And it's a communications. It's a two-way street in terms of communications between state officers, national offices, as well as rank-and-file members. Mm-hmm. That is a unique opportunity that exists at these branch meetings and state meetings.
Yes.
You don't get any other time.
That's right. And we need people to get involved. I mean, you know, we recognize people are busy. You know, my kids are growing up now, but I got grandkids. But when I was a young supervisor, you know, my son was playing baseball. My daughters were playing softball. Both of my daughters were in dance. Every day there was something going on after work and on weekends. And I completely understand that. But it's, you have to find the time to do something in an organization like ours that really improves your life as a postal supervisor, manager, or postmaster. And one of the ways to do that is just to start coming to NAPS branch meetings. Get involved. Find out what's going on. Go to some of these training and advocacy classes and events that we provide. And, of course, this year in Grapevine, Texas, in August, we'll have our national convention. We'll have 1,500 people from across the country there. Basically, an exercise in democracy is what I like to call that. It's sometimes loud. It's sometimes messy. It's sometimes argumentative, but not disrespectfully so. And at the end of the day, we rewrite the rules in some cases for how we operate as an organization. But the membership have an opportunity to come to a national convention and really change the focus, change the drive of the organization, if that's what they so choose to do. And in the meantime, we also hear from postal leadership who will come to our convention, our national convention. And we have an opportunity to, again, socialize, network, and do things together that I think improves everybody's overall life.
One of the things that is notable about organizations such as NAPS is that, coming from Capitol Hill, and I worked on Capitol for a number of years, and that is that numbers make a difference. Mm-hmm. That the larger an organization is, the more their voice can be amplified. You see that all the time. As an example, the American Association of Retired People, AARP, has an extraordinarily loud voice because of its size. A number of labor unions have an extraordinarily loud voice because of their size.
Right.
So the larger that NAPS is, the more effective and more with clarity we speak to Capitol Hill, not only to Capitol Hill, but to the Postal Service itself.
Correct.
And that, you know, when the leadership, the Board of Governors or the Postmaster General, you know, whoever that Postmaster General will be after the current PMG is sort of succeeded, we'll listen, because we have 27,000 plus, and I put that big, that plus, members there, is we speak for people.
Right, we do. And the size of the organization, as you say, is matters, and that's correct. Now, unlike AARP or some of these other organizations out there in the country, we have a limited ceiling, right?
Right.
There's 40,000 or 48,000 or so, roughly, EAS in the Postal Service. That's everybody. So we can only get to a certain point. Right now, we're about 71% of EAS are members of NAPS. So we want to get that as high as we possibly can for the reasons you said, because it matters. But really, membership is the lifeblood of the organization. We only exist because we have members, right? So one of our missions as an organization, all of ours, from Brian, Ivan, and myself down through the staff here, through our executive board members from across the country, through our state presidents, branch presidents, and every single member who's listening to this podcast today, our responsibility is to promote membership so that the organization can continue its mission. A mission, by the way, that started in 1908. It's not like we got on the scene yesterday or last week. We've been around for 112 years in September. We'll be around another 112 plus. I probably won't be here for all of that. I'm hoping, you know, that the leadership of the future will continue to grow the organization down the road into the next 112 years. But it's our mission. It's our responsibility as members of the organization to grow the membership, to expand the membership, to become the leaders of the membership so that we can grow and thrive in the future. And one of the things, and I always say this, and nobody can be harder on the Postal Service than me sometimes, but, you know, they have big shoulders, they can handle it. But we don't hate the Post Office. We're not mad at the Postal Service. We just want them to do the right thing by us. We show up every day, we run the plants, we run the post offices, we run the delivery operations, we run the mop shop, the HR departments, the safety, we run all of that. And all we're asking is to be treated fairly and respectfully. That's all we're asking. And be paid appropriately to the work that we do and the value we bring to the organization. That's what we're all about as this organization called NAP. So we want the post office to survive and thrive for another 112 years right alongside with us. That's what we're all about. So we're going to keep working at it. We need to sign up these non-members. So I'm asking everybody who's listening today, please look at your non-member lists or find out who is a non-member and call them, go see them, sign them up. And by the way, if you go sign up a member on the 1187, you send it in, you get $25 from us, a check for $25. If you are a non-member and you're part of this membership campaign that we're running right now and you sign up yourself and send it in, we're going to send you a $50 signature gift card just for signing up as part of our membership drive. So not only do you get all the great things about being a NAP, but you're also going to get a little gift card that you can maybe take and like I would do, would go buy the grandkids something. But that's just me. But it's something that as an incentive for people to join and help each other out and promote the membership growth.
So being a member is something, is basically joining into an entity that represents something larger than yourself.
Correct.
And that you're working with your colleagues for the better for the benefit of your colleagues and for the benefit of the Postal mm-hmm. Service itself.
Yeah.
With that, Chuck, I'm going to thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And we're going to look forward to seeing you next week at LTS.
I'll be there.
Take care, everyone. Have a great weekend and speak with you next week.
I'm going to sit right down and write myself a letter and make